Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Secret Museum of the Air, a weekly broadcast of the world's music, historic landmarks from the dawn of recording through the golden age of the gramophone. Join us for the next hour as your host, Citizen Kafka, visits with curator Pat Conti in the Secret Museum.
Good evening.
Good evening.
And welcome to the Secret Museum of the Air.
Tonight brought to you in stereo, at least in part,
right,
once again.
Our talking is in stereo. These 78s and cylinders did not come in stereo, except for a few extremely rare examples, which we will not get to tonight.
Right. We always like to speak of records that we're not playing, but we'll speak enough tonight. I think the music will speak for us very well.
Tonight's show is the clarinet, part one. Certainly not enough time to explore the history of the instrument and its recorded predecessors, really, in one show. But we'll open the show with some instruments from Northern Asia.
Well, from North Africa and parts of the Persian Empire, and even Macedonia for tonight. On our first set, we'll be listening to single reeds and double reeds, sometimes in harmony with each other. Everything from the Peep Arab, as this first cut, to the Mijwiz, and the Zurna or Zurli, as it's known under many names in many cultures. The first cut, Hag Hasan Safar, as recorded for Odeon, at about 1919 was the year, and features the Tabul Baladi, this beautiful piece of dance music for reed. And one of the more antique sounds we'll be hearing tonight, although we'll be sprinkling them throughout the show. After that, a Zurna piece on the rare Kordophone label, and more on that later. And we'll wrap it up with a studio recording from Radio Macedonia, which was pressed by RCA Victor in the 1940s as a custom job. And we'll hear Stotapani Izurli, a dance piece featuring another Zurna-type instrument, again, a precursor to where we'll be going tonight. So let's start in Egypt, Cairo, 1919.
Sonat Odeon.
Thank you.
The first question that comes to mind about these three cuts is the type of music that this is. Is this composed music, pop music, traditional music, or some combination?
Well, it's most definitely folk music and more exactly dance music. The three pieces are related in the sense that we have remnants of music from the Ottoman Empire and the Arabic world mixed quite well. And in the Balkans, we heard this last piece from the radio studio Skopje, Macedonia. From the 1940s, these were done in the radio station and were pressed on a label called Sperry, which appeared for a number of years and was custom produced by the RCA company, oddly enough.
Who had a lot of small custom labels all over the world where they would press.
Right, they would do
material for people
do
who
these
come
odd
in
jobs.
You wanted to mention very briefly about the Kurdish.
Yes, before that we heard on the Kurdophone label the zurna with the other instruments, the oud, and the dumbek, etc. These were anonymous musicians, and a piece called Hale Oyun Havasi, which is probably of Turkish origin. These actually could be Turkish musicians, but labeled again in sort of even a bootleg fashion, if you've ever seen these records, Kurdophone, part of a family of records that were out in the, I'd say again, in the 1940s. Kurdophone had other appearances.
So these were really reissues of records that had been made earlier?
Yes, they actually could be bootlegged from any source, from records on Persian labels to Azerbaijan and other parts of the Eastern Republics, Turkish, Armenian. There was a whole family of things, but this was the Kurdish one. And up top we had the piece from the Odeon recording of the, as it's labeled, the Peep Arab.
It's a beautiful recording before electric recordings.
Yes, and it features probably the oldest type of reed from that part of the world, the Mijwiz, which is basically very much like a chanter of a bagpipe.
Off to where?
Okay, from there we're going to Constantinople in the 1920s, and we'll hear a great singer who we featured before, Hafuz Burhan Bey, and again, the zurna, except in a different setting. You'll hear the interplay between the solo zurna and the voice, and a magnificent recording.
I just picked up a bunch of these records recently.
Yes, that's right. It's Gazelle, the song Evelje Hudai, and this appeared on a 12-inch Columbia record, I'd say about 1930. It's a marked change from the raucous piece we just heard. Then we hear some real exacting voices of the makam called Mahur. This again is a Turkish piece. These are anonymous musicians once again who recorded for Parlophone in the 1920s, who were from Izmir, or Smyrna as we know it. And if you listen carefully here, well, this is actually the first clarinet piece of the evening, and we featured it here in a recording where you can hear some beautiful interplay in an instrumental ensemble.
Right, you mentioned makam, which is a mode or a scale that's used for a certain...
Yes.
It's almost like different types of ragas. You know, like a morning raga
right.
would have a certain progression and scale and approach
to
it. The makams were the names.
It's the route. It's the roadmap for the musician where he can take the notes up or down.
And that's common and prevalent in the whole...
In Oriental music.
In Oriental music,
yeah.
Right.
And listen for the brief interlude during this piece of the Çifteteli in the midst of a dance piece which is Zaybek. In Greece, it's Zaybekiko. But this is the Turkish recording, Turkish parlophone from the 1920s. So two examples of Turkish music for this set, first with the zurna and then with the clarinet. Thank you.
evvelce Hüseyin tanımış olmasa gönlüm vallahi güzel. Vallahi güzel, sen benim Allah'ım olursun, aman aman. Thank you.
apologize for the condition of some of the records.
That was actually the best one we could find. We went to two or three copies of that. That was the best one.
A reminder to those listeners who have not heard the Secret Museum regularly, almost every record that you hear on the Secret Museum has never been reissued in any form, anywhere. And you're really hearing, for some of these records, the first radio play that they've ever gotten, or perhaps the first time they've been played and heard by a wide number of people in 50, 60, or 70 years.
Yes, but not the first time they've been played in this room.
No, certainly not.
That's one of our favorites there. I think you know that one from some years back. Recorded probably about 1928 for Parlophone. And before that, the great, great singer. One of the greatest voices, I think, of the century was Hafiz Burhan Bey. And they're featured in a very different light from most of his other recordings, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And featuring the Zurna with a very sparse accompaniment and a beautiful ghazal.
Much more traditional.
Yes, that's the right stuff.
You're listening to a show on the clarinet here on the Secret Museum of the Air with Pat Conti, the curator of the museum, and myself, Citizen Kafka, the sort of the wandering... What would you call it?
I'll leave that blank.
All right, wandering blank. We travel next to what part of the world?
Well, from Constantinople, we go to New York City, that exotic place we all know and love. And we're staying with the Turkish theme. This is actually a very popular theme in klezmer music, I've come to notice, the Turkish march. And we'll hear something called the Türküsü Yalı ve Uve, which I hope I said right, as played by Mr. Brandwine.
Naftala Brandwine.
Right, and his orchestra as they recorded in May 10th, in 1923, for the Victor Company. Beautiful piece. And I think really does some justice to some soaring clarinet music, even though this is an acoustic recording.
Naftala Brandwine was one of the most noted of the clarinetists, soloists, and creative geniuses of the klezmer, early klezmer music recorded in America.
Yes, and if we...
That's all I have to say about that. Just listen.
If we didn't include him in a program like this, we'd have hell to pay, I'm sure, and it's beautiful music. From there, we go to a record that is in Hindi script. The musician is Gopal Lahiri, as a recorded for the Indian Twin label in the 1930s, in the very early 1930s, on a piece of music that is billed as clarionet solo. And this was a popular type of record in the 1930s in India, the Indian Twin label being a subsidy of, again, the Gramophone Company of India. And lastly, as just a sidetrack, and we often go on a tangent here, we'll hear one of the many reed pipes of India, and this is a hard contrast. This, again, in Hindi script and a 1940s recording, which comes from the holy city of Benares and features the instrument, the Nadaswaram, which is more like, I believe it translates as the snake pipe. And one of the, actually the premier instrumentalist on this instrument is Bismala and his party. And we'll have some shades of Wonderwall music here from North Central India on the Indian HMV label. So first, the Lower East Side, New York City, 1923, and our good friend Nifty. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nadaswaram, or the snake pipes, from Bismala and his party of Benares.
It's very interesting. The clarinet itself is a European instrument?
I believe German.
And
as we know it today, quickly
spread throughout the world and adapted to the traditional music of most of the cultures that it ended up in.
It was imported, it seems, everywhere from the Levant to the edge of Asia. And in Indian music, it seems to have fallen out of favor pretty quickly by the time of the Second World War, I'd say. That piece that we heard being recorded in the 30s, the Gopal Lahiri. And up top, of course, the master of klezmer music, one of them, Nifty Brandwein, and his May 1923 recording of the Turkish March. I believe that's the March.
Another comment about the clarinet and the recording. A lot of the recordings, these early recordings, before, say, 1924, 78s and cylinders were recorded directly. The musicians would perform in front of a horn, which carried the vibrations to a needle, which would essentially cut what
direct
was considered
to disc.
right,
yes,
audio.
We've come a full circle here. Actually, that is a remarkable recording
for its vintage. It certainly is. The recording engineers were as skilled at what they were doing with the technology that they were working with as any great recording engineer today. To be able to recreate, even as they did, the sounds of the instruments on such a primitive, literally physical, nothing electric anywhere.
Mm. And physical is the key word. Also for the musicians, this is a great battle to get a good balance. The lead musician has to face the horn directly when he takes a solo. In the interspaces between the solo, he has to actually physically duck out of the way so you can hear them. He is the human mixing board.
Hopping up and down, being directed, probably.
Yes, I'm sure it was something that looked absolutely ridiculous when it was happening. And
no way to monitor it, no
I
way
bet
to
there
tell
were a
what
lot
was
of
going
good,
on.
I bet there were a lot of good stories, comic stories about recording with a horn. Because you really have to do your own mixing and get your body out of the way of the horn.
And you don't expect the musicians to be knowledgeable enough about exactly what physical position they're in makes the correct mix. Mm-hmm. So they probably prompted before.
A band like Brandwein's, who was playing constantly at every turn,
had experience at recording in the studio.
I think so.
It's fantastic. We're going now to another part of Europe.
Yes, we're going to Athens, and this is a record which is kind of like, how should I put this, like Down Yonder by Gid Tanner, not musically, but the type of record that was so popular among just plain folks that it remained in the catalog really right into the 45 era. This is a record from the 1930s by Vaios Maliaris.
You have a 45 of this also.
I eventually found one. I've seen it a number of times. This happened to be my introduction to Greek music, and more precisely the music of Epirus, which we'll be sampling in this, our final set. And the piece is Ismail Agas, as we said, recorded in Athens, and features this style of music, the Epirotica, which is heavy on the clarinet and a very drippy and rich, sweet sound, often with an eerie backdrop. It's a strange mixture. Mm. For me, it was just the most joyous sound. I can't get enough of it. I can't wait to listen to it now, again for the umpteenth time. But Maliaris was a very popular recording artist. I believe he started for Decca about 1934, before he went to RCA in Athens, and was very much in demand as a sideman, and a beautiful instrumental soloist here, and a very meditative kind of piece. I think you'll like it. It's not typical of Epirotica, but it is just delicious. And from there, just a striking contrast to Grigoro Pouli, the Swift Bird, as played by, I think his name is Emmanuel Papayoriou, one of the great great clarinetists of all time, who also recorded for the Greek office of Victor about the same time. Just a masterful player. And we'll wrap up with a piece of music that comes from the Halkias family of musicians, who need no introduction in New York. Pericles, of course, great part of this continuum, who I believe was one of Andy Statman's mentors for some time. So there we have Andy again cropping up in our instrumental series once again. He's carrying on the tradition. The piece is credited to Halkiopoulos, I guess, which is their full name. But enough of that. We'll get back to talking about it. Let's listen to the music. First, the music of Maliaris from Epirus. Thank you. Magia sto pegadi.
That's unbelievable.
There it is. The spell that's in the well. It's unbelievable poetry as well. Unbelievable music and Just a fantastic recording.
Is that a style? Was this original to this group, or?
Well, the really heavy operatic music, like this clarinet player here, Mr. Halkias, that style really owes a lot to Albanian music, oddly enough. There's a lot of that very heavy and syrupy kind of playing. That is typical of operatica.
But what incredible music.
Yes, it's just great. The vocalist, Yurio Trakis, we have to give credit to, as they recorded for the Odeon Company in the 1940s. Before that, the great Papa Yurio and the Swift Bird, as recorded for RCA in the 40s as well. And up top was my introduction, Vajos Maliaris, one of my favorites, still is. He's a great man. He's out there somewhere. And there you have it.
Well, that's the show for this evening. The Secret Museum of the Air closes its door on the clarinet wing. So we decided to end the show with something completely and utterly and totally different, as far away, actually not in every aspect, but in most aspects from that last piece.
No, I think Monsieur Debussy borrowed very heavily from folklore, as we do. And you might be able to hear it in this piece.
Featuring a musician whose work is very much in the news in New York these days. The concerts at Carnegie Hall, is it?
Probably.
Uh-oh. We're not paying attention.
We don't have an up-to-date newspaper down here. That's the problem.
Well, the 20s and 30s is good. Benny Goodman playing at Debussy's.
This is the first Rhapsody for clarinet recorded probably just prior to World War II for Columbia.
Well,
the New York Symphony
the date,
Orchestra. No, we're not.
New York Symphony Orchestra.
But we do know the director credited only as John Barbaroli, so he wasn't knighted yet.
So to close
so
the show,
date
Benny Goodman playing Debussy for something completely different, the clarinet. I'm Citizen Kafka, Pat Conti, the curator.
Bidding you good night again, just hoping that you love the music as much as we do.
Have a good night.
Good night. Thank you.
And so the gate swings shut after another visit to the secret museum comes to a close. We hope you have enjoyed this brief journey spanning the first half century of recorded sounds across the earth. Until next time, I'm Buddy Fortune for The Secret Museum of the Air.
This is Citizen Kafka. The Secret Museum of the Air is funded in part by a grant from the Shira Kober Zeller Foundation in loving memory of Arthur and Margaret Kober. For more information about the Secret Museum of the Air, write Secret Museum, Post Office Box 23075, Brooklyn, New York, 11202, 3075. That's Secret Museum of the Air, Post Office Box 23075, Brooklyn, New York, 11202, 3075. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again here at the Secret Museum of the Air.